where does it lie?
When you're doing science, making technology, or running a business.
Hi, this is Tamara Carlton.
And David Allen Greer.
For How We Manage Stuff.
Today, we're going to look at the last principle of science policy.
In an episode entitled, Who's in Charge? Is everyone here?
Well, are you actually here?
I'm phoning in today. From South Africa.
Africa? Really? The miracle of the internet. Let's check with Evelyn to see if everyone else is ready.
Well, all but Rohit. Vinny, the CTO, is getting coffee.
No, I'm back. Here I am. You know, I never get tired of the view from this room.
Of the Capitol Power Plant?
One of the most impressive parts of the complex. I, for one, would not want it to have tended any of the several hundred fireplaces in the Capitol for any number of reasons.
Or the individual air conditioners, either. That must have been awful.
Well, they really have air conditioning before.
Thank you, Anna.
Sullivan from the Policy Shop is lost in the latest issue of Campaigns and Elections.
No. Yes. Right. Well, the CNE blog says that the fall campaigns are going to make tech innovation the one big economic issue. So I think we should try to get ahead of this so
Your
that we can build a little
Your screen is being
input.
Reflected in the window, mein Wunderkin. You're looking at bold-faced names.
And might not it have information useful to us?
If it were not almost the softcore porn of politics.
And Rohit.
Expected at any time, we hope. That's what we've been led to believe.
I would have thought that he had paid his debt to the Navy by now.
Well, they have any number of reasons for being upset that he thwarted their security software.
Let's get on with today's topic. We're looking at the last principle of science and technology policy today. The last idea that Vannevar Bush developed to guide how governments work with science and technology.
It was a simple point, one that seems obvious to us now. It was the idea that the head of any scientific or technical government agency would be responsible to the president.
And can I jump in here? Because this actually really touches business and entrepreneurship as well.
Go ahead, Vinny.
Because it's often presented as an idea of the importance of science. You know, science is so important that it has to report to the president. But it's really about responsibility. Who is responsible for the assets of the government?
Well, yes. But it's also presented in the context of the independence of science. You know that only scientists are allowed to determine what science is, what questions it pursues, and which answers are correct.
And that leads to the fundamental question. Where do you draw the line? People on one side of the line are responsible to science and to scientists. People on the other side are responsible to elected officials.
So at the end of the Second World War, when the U.S. government tried to make its first big science institution, the agency that would eventually become the National Science Foundation, the legislation made the director of the foundation responsible to a committee of scientists.
But President Truman vetoed the bill.
That he did. President cannot delegate his power to disperse public funds to private citizens, he argued.
And the science community, well, at least part of it, revolted. There was that guy, the head of, American Medical Association. Don't remember his name. Truman prefers bureaucratic domination to scientific control, he said.
Fishbein, I think.
Could have been. Just had no idea of how a democracy works and that we just don't give special powers to specific groups, even if they are scientists or engineers.
But Truman eventually got his way.
Yes, he did. And the fifth principle got enshrined in law. President and hence the people have the final say.
Yeah, and we've seen how hard it is to implement this principle. Our guest from a few episodes ago talked about the steps that the National Science Foundation takes to put control of the scientific decisions in the hands of scientists while keeping the financial decisions under the control of the administration.
That's right. But this principle was tested very seriously in the early 1950s.
Oh, I know the answer to this. I do.
Anna, it's not really a quiz.
This happened when the government fired Gomez Adams.
Gomez Adams? The father of the Adams family?
Oh. Wrong. It was the father of the father in the Adams family. It was the father of Gomez Adams.
Perchance it was the father of the actor, John Astin, who played Gomez Adams in the television version of the Adams family that originally ran from 1964 to 1996.
Well, yes, that's right. Patty Duke's father-in-law. Oh, my. Rohit?
So our IT staff finally returns.
Rohit is out of the big house and back in town. All right, boys, hit that play button. You know, the triangular one? It's green? Yeah, that one. If you ever hear the guards say you're under arrest, stand up tall, stick out your chest, because you might be sending stuff in false email, or moving your assets with illegal entail. You might even have molested a minky whale, but you won't be smiling in the district jail.
Oh, Rohit. Please tell me that is from a Sharpie pen and isn't a prison tattoo on your face.
No, please, okay.
And we're going to have to do something with your hair.
No. Please.
Oh, no, you got some of the ink in your ear. We are going to go to the office shower and get you all cleaned up.
Okay.
We are.
I'm okay. I'm
Won't
good.
That make you feel better?
I got your suit dry cleaned while
you were gone. You will look so good in it. So good.
I'm fine.
You will feel like yourself when this is over. You will. Trust me.
Fine. Well, that kind of took your breath away.
I would say so. Alan V. Astin, physicist, served as head of the National Bureau of Standards from 1951 to 1969.
Bureau of Standards?
It's now called National Institute of Standards and Technology.
In the 20th century, it often served as the government's general physics laboratory, like Washington's Naval Yard used to develop technology for the Navy.
And Astin was summarily fired when the Eisenhower administration took power in 1953.
Well, they had some claim that he was interfering with free and innovative markets, as Sully would say, but they seemed to be trying to clear out Democratic appointments. The Republicans hadn't been in power for 20 years.
And the scientific community goes nuts. The important issue here, editorialized Science Magazine, is the fact that the scientist in his findings has been challenged, that a gross injustice has been done, and that scientific work in government has been put in jeopardy.
And that was followed by protests from major scientists across the country. The head of DuPont, the head of GM, the head of Bell Lab.
I had no idea. What did they do?
Oh, the Eisenhower people weren't dumb. They got religion fast.
They set up a review committee under the authority of the National Academy of Sciences.
Isn't that a government office?
No, it's private.
They reviewed the evidence, recommended reinstating Astin, and then reviewed the Bureau of Standards to see what could be done to restructure the Bureau to separate scientific work from policy work from commercial work.
It's mine. Hello?
The Eisenhower administration took recommendations and restructured the Bureau.
Yes, I know who she is, but I'm not...
And they reinstated Astin.
Who served another 16 years as a successful director.
To see his son have the lead role in a silly TV sitcom.
Not everything in life works out the way you might want. We're just grateful...
Where's your car?
I left it in California. I've just been using Uber.
Call one.
Why? Where are we going?
Reagan Airport. It's Maddie.
Sure.
That was a sudden end to the discussion of the fifth principle of science and technology policy.
I don't think it's over yet.
What happened?
I gather that something has happened with Maddie, the student at the Lillian Moeller Gilbreth Preschool, next to her California office, who's decided that she would be a business leader like Evelyn.
Is everything okay?
Don't know. They seem to be going to Reagan National Airport.
Should we complete the discussion of the principles of science and technology policy?
Probably, though there's not a lot to discuss.
It's odd that the staff remember the last principle in terms of the Addams Family television show.
You should be grateful that they remember it at all.
Yeah, you're probably right.
As a regular practitioner of public hypocrisy, could I make a brief critical note on the story about the father of Mr. Addams?
The father of the actor who played Addams on the TV show? Sure.
You said that the principle of science policy was that the leaders of institutions were responsible to the president, not to the scientific community.
Yes.
But in your story, the president or some agent of the president tried to fire, what was his real name, of the Adams father?
Alan V. Astin, head of the Bureau of Standards.
Tried to fire Astin, and yet the scientific community rebelled and kept him in office.
That's right.
Your principle is not much of a principle if it can bend in the wind like that. Or am I just too deeply involved in politics to see the greater truth?
It's a principle.
Right. But shouldn't principles be above laws?
Yes.
Then what am I missing?
Senior technical leadership is the battle line.
Technical leaders sit at the point where two very different cultures collide.
Our principle states that in government, the goals of the people are more important than the goals of scientists.
And in business, the goals of investors are more important than the goals of scientists.
But it would seem that the scientists don't always agree to that principle.
Remember, scientists have worked hard to get authority over their work and activities.
But wasn't scientific control over research one of the earlier principles?
Number three, the real lesson here is that the public is not excluded from the debate on how governments use science and technology merely because they're not professional scientists or professional engineers. But if it makes you feel better, we can point to situations in which scientists were unable to get governments to accept their goals.
Sure.
The superconducting supercollider. The physicists wanted it, and the government refused to.
Ah, right. That atom smacker that was going to be in Texas.
Smacker. That's nice. The fifth principle really describes the point of conflict in the process which governments
or business
use to manage science and technology. In government, the heads of scientific agencies are sitting on that fault line, on the line of conflict between the interests of the scientific community and the interests of the citizenry.
And in business, your chief technology officers are sitting on a similar line between your technical staff and your investory.
Investory?
You like smacker, and I just wanted to see if you were listening. Your investors and board.
It sounded like an Addams Family thing. Wednesday in Pugsley, you can go out and play in the investory.
Ah, it sounds like a scene change.
It's Vinny from Reagan National Airport.
What did I tell you? Put him on the speaker.
Vinny?
Can you call Airbender?
Our lawyer? That's not a good way to start the call.
Maddie's here.
Well, that might be fun to have her on her. Oh my. And they can't.
Can't release her to us. It's just a mess. It began when we walked in the door.
Miss Evelyn! Miss Evelyn! Miss Evelyn! Oh, Mr. Vinny!
Maddie! It's so good to see you. How did you get here?
I flew on the plane. It was an Airbus 320. I would rather fly on a Boeing 737, but none of the airlines had a Boeing 737, so I came on an Airbus. I got upgraded to business class.
Excuse me, ma'am. Are you the parent or legal guardian of this child?
They gave me a copy of the Financial Times in business class and a chocolate.
Chocolate? No, we're friends. Her school is next to our California office, and we have a program with it.
I go to the Lily and Mola Gilbert School.
Then I'm afraid I can't let you touch her.
They're my
favorite.
Would
you please back away?
I like the Financial Times a lot. When can we see the Federal Trade Commission?
Then who is supposed to take her?
We don't know. She didn't have an unaccompanied minor manifest when she arrived. Apparently, our SFO staff thought she was an adult.
I bought the ticket myself. And you said we could go to the National Academy of Engineering. Lillian Mola Gilbert is a fellow of the National Academy. She's my hero.
An adult?
I used the credit card Daddy gave me. He's in Dubai. I heard Rohit got to go to the Smithsonian and see Google server number one. I want to go to the Smithsonian. When can we go? Can we go now?
Apparently, our SFO staff thought that she was just short.
They thought she was a short adult.
Apparently.
She's wearing sneakers with flashing LED lights in them. How is that an adult?
I have a red light in my left sneaker and a green one in my right one, just like an airplane.
Apparently, the staff
Look,
was mistaken.
I'm a jetliner.
Maddie, come here. Where's your mother?
She's in Toronto with her friends. She went shopping. That's what she said.
Does anyone know that you're here?
Elena. Elena knows I'm here.
Who's Elena?
She's from Estonia. She works for Mommy. I told her that I was going on a fundraising trip. I said it was an A round, but it really wasn't. It was really a friends and family round because you're friends. Friends and family.
Missy, you can't touch these people.
You know, I can't claim to be an expert on the laws governing the transportation of minors across state lines, but I would bet that you're the one in the hot seat.
I don't think.
Pretty soon, you're going to have to explain how she bought a ticket.
And got upgraded to business.
And got upgraded to business without a proper ID.
I have an ID. It's the Lily Amola Gilbreth ID. I have it from school. Doesn't your school have an ID?
I think she has demonstrated to you that she knows us. We'll go to your office. We'll verify who we are. You'll contact District Child Welfare, and we'll contact our attorney.
Oh, is Miss Aravinda here?
No, she's not.
And can I ask a favor?
Sure. Do you need to go?
I need to get my suitcase at baggage claim. I packed it all myself.
I'll get it.
And I left my copy of Financial Times on the plane.
I think we can get you another.
But I like that one.
Why don't we go to the office?
That's where we are.
We'll see what our attorney recommends, notify her parents, and see if we can get a release from child welfare.
And who'll take her? We're not going to put her up in a hotel by herself.
Evelyn.
We'll do what we can from here. And then we'll see what we can do with Maddie in Washington, D.C.
Promise, Federal Trade Commission. They're the best. Internet commerce. I want to have a business in internet commerce.
I'll call when I know something more.
Please.
If you thought that you understood Washington, D.C.,
then you've never seen it through a child's eyes.
Certainly not a child like Maddie.
Come back next week when we look at what it might take to raise a generation of entrepreneurs.
For this episode, this is Tamara Carlton.
And David Allen Greer.
For How We Manage Stuff.
Take care.
Yay! I'm in Washington, D.C., and I got upgraded to business class. Subscribe to How We Manage Stuff through iTunes or Google Play or our website, http://howwemanagestuff.com or Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever fine podcasts are sold. This is episode 16365 and is copyright 2016 by Jaggi LLC. All rights reserved.